so we will now begin with our opening hymn number 761, which is Rock of Ages. Congregation, may be seated.
Life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, Old Testament reading comes from the words of the prophet Isaiah, the 35th chapter. The wilderness and the dry land shall be glad. The desert shall rejoice and blossom like the crocus. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given to it, the majesty of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord, the majesty of our God. Strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who have an anxious heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, with the recompense of God. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap like a deer, and the tongue of the mute sing for joy. For waters break forth in the wilderness, and streams in the desert. The burning sand shall become a pool, and the thirsty ground springs of water. In the haunt of jackals where they lie down, the grass shall become reeds and rushes. And a highway shall be there, and it shall be called the Way of Holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it. It shall belong to those who walk on the way. Even if they are fools, they shall not go astray. No lion shall be there, nor shall any ravenous beast come upon it. They shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing. Everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our second reading comes from the Revelation of St. John, chapters 14 and 21. And I heard a voice from heaven saying, write this, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Blessed indeed, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, for their deeds follow them. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people. And God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain any more, for the former things have passed away. And he who was seated on the throne said, behold, I am making all things new. Also he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. And he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please stand for the verse.
Alleluia! Alleluia! Jesus Christ is the firstborn of the dead. This there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool, in Aramaic called Bethesda, which has five roofed colonnades. In these lay a multitude of invalids, blind, lame, and paralyzed. One man was there who had been an invalid for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there, and knew that he had already been there a long time, he said to him, do you want to be healed? The sick man answered him, sir, I have no one to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up, and while I am going, another steps down before me. Jesus said to him, "Get up, take up your bed, and walk." And at once the man was healed, and he took up his bed and walked. Jesus said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. He does not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life. Truly, truly, I say to you, an hour is coming and is now here, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We now join together in speaking the words of our faith, words which Marilyn confessed along with us many times, the words of the Apostles' Creed. We confess together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Congregation, may be seated. Our next hymn is number 748, I'm But a Stranger Here. Family and friends of Marilyn Reidemeyer, to those of you who are here today to remember her life of faith as well as to mourn its earthly end, and especially to you, Ron, Marilyn's devoted brother-in-law, and to the rest of the family and friends gathered here as well. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. This day marks the end of an era, to be sure,
in so many ways, certainly for those of you gathered here, but I would say also for myself, personally. This is the end of an era. About a week and a half ago, on December 11th, I reached the 9th anniversary of my installation here at Trinity in Hoyleton. And I remember back when I first came here in 2016, how as I was just getting started with everything here, I was handed a list of all of what we call the current shut-in members of the church. So all the people that, for whatever reason, health reasons or otherwise, they can't come and worship with us here in the sanctuary. And so it's my job as the pastor to go and deliver God's word and the Lord's Supper to folks just like Marilyn, people who are in nursing homes and care facilities, and some of them who are just at home too. And I remember what that list looked like 9 years ago, but you can imagine that over the course of 9 years, a list like that changes pretty frequently, actually. People's situations change, health situations change. Sometimes people come off the list because they've gotten better and they can start coming to worship with us again in person. A lot of times the reason why a name comes off the list is because the Lord calls them into heaven. I say this specifically is the end of an era because Marilyn Reitemeyer, up until last Friday night, was one of, actually the only remaining name on the list that was handed to me 9 years ago. Which means I had been visiting her regularly, like pretty much monthly, for the last 9 years. That's a lot of time that she and I spent together. It's a lot of hours we spent visiting in her room, which she would joke around with me. She'd call it her office. She'd say, "Pastor, come to my office." And so we would. We'd have little meetings in her office there at Friendship Manor. Marilyn and I spent so much time together. Really, I don't think you're exaggerating at all to say that I probably have had more time in one-on-one conversation with Marilyn than I've had with any other member or most other members of Trinity here in Hoyleton. We got to know each other very, very well. Last time I was able to actually speak with her and have a good conversation, not the last time I saw her, but the last time I really got to talk with her, we talked about this day. It was about a month ago, at the end of November, and she had just been officially placed into hospice care, and so we talked about her funeral because she knew that this day was coming. She knew she was going to get to see Jesus soon, and she was going to get to see her sisters and her parents soon. So we talked about this day. I didn't know when this day was going to come, but we talked about it. And I asked if she had any special requests, you know, for hymns, and she said, "I already picked those, Pastor." And I said, "Well, okay, how about scripture passages?" She said, "Well, that's your job. You get to pick those." I said, "Okay, that's fine." But the one thing she seemed like she really, really cared about, she grabbed my hand, she looked me in the eye, and she made me swear to her that at her funeral, I would preach a good sermon. So, okay, Marilyn, here we go. Here's my best shot at it. Marilyn's passing is significant for a lot of us, but I think in one sense, this is a day that the world saw coming, or at least they thought that they did. From the time that she was little, so many people in her life assumed that because of all of her health issues, starting with that cerebral palsy that she dealt with in childhood, and then later on, of course, due to the stroke that she suffered 19, almost 20 years ago, the assumption was that she would never be able to live a long, full life. The assumption was that she was always on borrowed time. People in her condition usually don't make it very long, and even if she did, well, she would probably just be miserable. She wouldn't have any sort of quality of life whatsoever. But time after time, she proved everybody wrong. And look, I'm not going to stand here in the pulpit today and sugarcoat it and pretend like she didn't struggle. I mean, her life was objectively difficult. There's no sense in saying otherwise. But in spite of all of her challenges, in spite of all of her pain and suffering, in spite of her inability to even walk for the better part of the last two decades, Marilyn was still somebody who was filled with the joy of the Lord. She was still somebody that was just joyful around other people. She was so social at Friendship Manor. I mean, she did everything. You know, she went to every nursing home church service. Most recently, we were doing that on Tuesday morning. She went to every single one, even the pastors that she didn't really care for. She was there. She went to every coffee social hour that they had. She went to bingo, and she would take her meager winnings, and every once in a while, she'd have enough to buy herself a Diet Coke. As long as she was feeling well enough to be there, whatever it was, she was there. Did she get a little grumpy sometimes? Sure. Sometimes did she maybe not like something that somebody else was doing or saying? Okay, yeah, maybe. Was she not feeling well sometimes? Yeah, a lot of times. But even on her toughest days, the Marilyn that I knew was somebody who could always find something to smile about, could always find something to laugh about or joke about, because she really was filled with the joy of the Lord. The gospel reading that we just heard a little bit ago helps us to remember that the Lord does not abandon people who are like Marilyn. He doesn't give up on them. He doesn't write them off as quickly as maybe the rest of the world would. Here in John chapter 5, we meet a man who is sitting by a pool. The Bible tells us that this man had been an invalid for 38 years. That's twice as long as Marilyn had been wheelchair bound. This man had been an invalid for 38 years, sitting by the Bethesda pool. Now, there was sort of a superstition about that pool in those days. People believed that an angel would come down and stir up the waters of the pool, and then the idea was whoever could jump into the water first, after the waters were stirred up, they would be healed, which in reality meant that the people who were most in need of healing were the ones that would usually get looked over. The people that were in the worst shape were the ones that would get forgotten about because they could never be quick enough to be first. And you can imagine that back then, the assumptions that people would make about a man like this would be similar to the way that some might have thought about Marilyn's life over the years. Some people might have thought that this man who had sat by that pool didn't have enough quality of life to be worth saving. But that's not what Jesus thinks. What does Jesus do? He takes the time to speak to this man. And not only does he speak to him, but he has mercy upon him. He cares for this man. He heals this man. Tells him to get up, pick up his mat, and walk. Later on, Jesus is addressing the crowds, and he says this, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. In other words, it doesn't matter to Jesus if you are somebody who can run a marathon or if you're somebody who is wheelchair bound. It doesn't matter to Jesus if you are somebody who can speak eloquently and confidently in front of a crowd or if you're someone who sometimes has trouble speaking because your brain and your mouth aren't connected the same way after a stroke. What matters is whether a person believes and trusts in Jesus. What matters is that our Lord has promised eternal life to each and every one of us, meaning that this life, with all of its issues, all of its problems, is only a temporary life. Even if a person is an invalid for 19 years or 38 years, or even like Marilyn had health issues for 84 years, there's a day coming for all of us when Jesus will heal us too. And in fact, the healing has already begun in stirred up waters of the Bethesda pool, but the waters of holy baptism. Our spiritual condition has already been healed by Jesus fully and completely. Our sin has been removed from us as far as the east is from the west. And someday when we, like Marilyn, breathe our last and the Lord calls us to his side in heaven, any physical weakness that we might face, mild or severe, that will be completely gone too. Which is amazingly good news. And something that gives us hope, even on a day like today. But it gets even better, because the Lord doesn't stop there. He says in verse 25, an hour is coming when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God. Our bodies will be raised up on the last day and made completely whole. We will stand together before the throne of the Lamb. We'll be standing next to Marilyn. She'll be standing on her own two legs, completely healed, completely restored. And just like we heard in Revelation 21 today, God will wipe away every tear. That's what makes it possible for us to look up here today and see more than just a casket. You know, tomorrow's still Christmas Eve. And even in the midst of our suffering, we can have Christmas joy, just like Marilyn did. We see all these decorations up here, the trees, the lights, the poinsettias. We even still have red on the altar because we were celebrating St. Thomas Day on Sunday. And so here we still have red, and Marilyn loved the color red. We can look up here and see more than just a casket, because all of this reminds us that Jesus Christ was born in Bethlehem to save us from our sins. And that takes on an even deeper meaning on a day like this, because that right there, Christmas, is God's solution to the problem of death. There's a reason why the angels sang Gloria in Excelsis Deo. There's a reason why the shepherds ran to the manger to see this baby that was born. There's a reason why fields and floods, rocks, hills, and plains repeat the sounding joy. It's because Christmas paves the way to the resurrection of Easter. And Easter paves the way to heaven for you, for me, for Marilyn too. In just a few moments before we make our way out to the cemetery, we're going to sing a Christmas carol. We're going to sing, Hark the Herald Angels Sing. And we rejoice, because as we sing, Joyful All Ye Nations Rise, we know that Marilyn is now the one who has joined the triumph of the skies. And there's no more suffering for her, because Jesus is risen with healing in his wings. So yeah. Once again, this is the end of an era today. Marilyn Reitemeier is officially crossed off of the shut-in members list. But thanks be to God, her name is and always will be in the Lord's book of life. So is yours. Thanks be to God. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. We'll now continue with our next hymn, number 707, Oh, that the Lord would guide my way.
stand for prayer. Let us pray to the Lord our God and Father, who raised Jesus from the dead. Almighty God, you have knit your chosen people together into one communion in the mystical body of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Give to your whole church in heaven and on earth your light and your peace. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Grant that all who have been baptized into Christ's death and resurrection may die to sin and rise to newness of life, and so pass with him through the gate of death and the grave to our joyful resurrection. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Grant that all who have been nourished by the holy body and blood of your Son may be raised to immortality and incorruption, to be seated with him at your heavenly banquet. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Give to the family of Marilyn and to all who mourn comfort in their grief and a sure confidence in your loving care, that casting all their sorrow on you, they may know the consolation of your love. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Give courage and faith to the bereaved, that within the communion of your church, they may have strength to meet the days ahead and the assurance of a holy and certain hope, and in the joyful expectation of eternal life with those they love who have departed in the faith. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Help us, we pray, in the midst of things we cannot understand, to believe and find comfort in the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Receive our thanks for Marilyn and for all the blessings you bestowed on her in this earthly life. Bring us at last to our heavenly home, that with her we may see you face to face in the joys of paradise. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. O God of all grace, you sent your Son, our Savior Jesus Christ, to bring life and immortality to light. We give you thanks that by his death he destroyed the power of death, and by his resurrection he opened the kingdom of heaven to all believers. Strengthen us in the confidence that because he lives, we shall live also, and that neither death nor life, nor things present nor things to come, will be able to separate us from your love, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Taught by our Lord and trusting his promises, we are bold to pray, Our Father, who art in heaven,